With loads of business advice flooding the industry, it has never been harder to see the path to success. And you can't take action if you don't have clarity. Get clear on the actionable tips and strategies that will help to scale your business here on Masters in Clarity, the podcast that brings you clarity around messaging, business growth, digital marketing, personal development, and the business owner's journey to success. Let's join our guide, the master of turning clarity into action and lasting impact, Dolores Hirschman.
I am looking forward to my conversation with Andrea Klender. Andrea is the creative director behind the Creative Imposter Studios, a podcast production studio helping you craft a branded audio experience you and your audience will love. Now, here's the thing with Andrea. I actually got really curious about the name of her company, the Creative Imposter Studios, because for me, there was a connection between creativity and imposter syndrome. So if that is happening to you as well, that there's like a curiosity of how does creativity and imposter syndrome can be put in one name of a company and what is the relationship between those two, then I want you to check out this episode with Andrea Klender. You don't want to miss it.
Well, Andrea, it is so exciting to sit down for this conversation today. And there's so many questions I want to ask you. But the first things first, you know, I always ask the same question. What was your clarity journey? Knowing in hand, like clarity, I'm putting, you know, if you're not watching this video, I'm like air quote clarity journey, because we know that wherever we have arrived to, it was neither linear nor clear, nor like sometimes there were ups and downs. And I know you had a lot of them, and podcasts had something to do with your ups and downs and the where you are today. So why don't you walk us through the journey?
Yeah, absolutely. So the shorter version is that I have had many stages in my entrepreneurial journey. So originally, I went to college majoring in music and vocal performance, and I was going to be a singer. And that was the only thing I wanted to do my entire life, was to become a professional singer, to go to music school. I was studying opera and classical voice. And in my freshman year, I hated it. I was miserable. It was doing exactly what I wanted to do, and I was so miserable. And so, you know, first life crisis at the young age of 18 years old. What do I do with my life? This isn't it. And this is the only thing I've ever wanted to do. So eventually, I ended up studying broadcast media and production, graduated, moved to Chicago, and ended up working in nonprofit arts management at an opera company. So funny, I was suddenly working behind the scenes at the place where I thought that I would be performing on stage one day.
Funny how the world works.
Yes. And then I suddenly realized that there was only so far that I could go in nonprofit arts administration. You know, there's a ceiling, and I had kind of already hit it after about 8 years. And I was wondering, okay, what happens next? Like, I never wanted to be an administrator. That was never my goal. And so what am I doing? And a friend suggested that I attend this women in business cheese and wine, you know,
thing.
Reception thing. And I was like, yeah, I don't want to go. I'm like, I'm not a woman in business. You know, I don't know what this is. She's like, just come. And I took a little quiz, and the quiz told me that I should be an entrepreneur and I should start my own business. And I was like, okay, that never occurred to me. And at the time, I was teaching yoga on the side, just kind of as a fun thing that I had started doing a few classes here and there. So I had the brilliant idea to quit my day job and start a yoga studio, which is what I did for 5 years. And then I ran out of money. I ran out of energy. I ran out of a desire to run that business. I ran out of a social life. I hit the bottom. And when I say the bottom, that was in my early 30s. And that was the first time that I had ever experienced what I would call depression. It was the first time that I had experienced bankruptcy, hopefully last, but definitely the first. And I started to have this feeling that I used to call imposter syndrome. I've sort of revised the way I think about it since then, but it is that feeling of being a fraud. It is that feeling of self-doubt, because when I ended up closing the yoga studio, when people would say, oh, what do you do? You know, I'd meet somebody somewhere. What do you do? That's always, what's your name? What do you do? That's always what people ask. And I didn't have an answer because I didn't do anything for a while. I couldn't say that I was a business owner. I couldn't say that I was a yoga studio owner. I could barely say I was teaching yoga because I think I had like one or two clients left-ish. And I really didn't know what to do. And so I spent a good bit of time in that not knowing what to do place. And the thing that kind of pinged my interest was podcasting. It was something that someone had suggested to me. A client had asked me when I had the yoga studio, would you ever start a podcast for yoga? And I didn't know what a podcast was. And so she turned me on to a few different podcasters that she liked. And I was like, this is really cool. But at that time when I had the studio, I could not even begin to fathom how I would start another project. Like, where does this fit in? I don't understand how you make money from podcasting. Like, this sounds awesome, but I don't really have the time to focus in on it. But all along, since that moment, I was listening to all these amazing shows about entrepreneurship and lifestyle and business and yoga and meditation. And it just kept this thing going in my mind. Like, here are all these people building these amazing communities, building businesses, having interesting conversations. I have a degree in media production. Maybe I could start a podcast, even if I don't know how that turns into a business, even if I don't know what is going to happen from there. How do I make money from this? Maybe I can just start the podcast and go from there. That's how I created The Creative Imposter. And then from there, it turned into consulting with other people who wanted to start a podcast. And then it turned into editing other people's shows once they started them, because a lot of people realized they didn't want to learn how to edit their own shows. And so they thought, oh, can I just hire you to do that? And now it has grown into the Creative Imposter Studios, which is a full service media production company for nonprofit organizations and brands and business leaders who want to shift the status quo in their niche through audio media. So it just sort of like escalated to where we are now.
Well, so many nuggets of wisdom that you just shared. And I mean, I'm looking at this from the perspective of our listeners, and where is the one aha or learning element that you just shared? Because I believe that when we share our stories with authenticity, like not leaving any detail behind, not leaving, you know, people share their highs and the lows. And so I always have this question, how did you jump from this one to this one? Because there's always a gap there, and I know there are no bridges. So you kind of have to go down to come up. And so I love that you shared, and you didn't say it in these words, but the courage to sit with no identity, or so you felt. The courage to be in the limbo phase and sit with it. That is what most of us don't do. And then you don't get to the nuggets of learning and clarity that you need. And then the courage to take action without clarity. Because I always, you know, Masters in Clarity, that's the company. And we talk about mastering your clarity. And in mastering your clarity, you gotta be ready to take action with just a little tiny clarity, not the whole picture, because we never have it. So I love that. Okay. One day podcast, you got hooked into podcasts. No plan around what podcast will do for me, but it was enough for you to get into the podcast action, whatever that looks like. And then here you are. And here you are. What does that here you are mean? What does your business look like now? I mean, like, so listeners are at the edge of the seat. Here you are. You start a podcast. And now what happened?
Yeah. So now I have a small team of contractors who are all specialists in whatever they do. And so I have a couple of associate editors. I have a production assistant who helps with some of the social media and the scheduling. I have a technical director who helps with the audio engineering and the tech and whatnot. And I have a writer who writes show notes. So what are we creating? We are helping organizations and companies and small businesses create podcasts, audio first podcasts that they can use to advance whatever the purpose is in their business. And we're helping by creating strategies with them, by helping them figure out the logistics of what are they going to record with? How are they going to record? When are they going to record? How often? Who is the host of their show? Because a lot of times when we're working with, let's say, a nonprofit organization, they may have someone who wants to create the podcast that could be in their community outreach department. It could be in their PR department, but maybe it's not the PR director who wants to be the host of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we figure out who is the voice of your organization? How are we going to create this show? What is going to be useful and interesting to your listeners? How are we going to connect with them? And then from there, we will go ahead and edit the content. We'll, in some cases, add music scoring to it and then help publish and promote those shows. And so it really grew from, let me just create one show to now I have, depending on the month and who's on contract at any given time, we have about 10 to 12 organizations of different sizes that we work with in some capacity to help them create their shows.
I love that. I love that. So now I'm very curious and I have my idea of the meaning behind it, or I make my own meaning, but the creative imposter.
Yes.
Tell me more.
Well, that was the name of my first podcast. Like I said, when I did not have a business plan, and I don't actually remember who came up with that name first. So my partner was helping me brainstorm ideas around the podcast. And it was because I knew I wanted to start a podcast, but I didn't know what it would be about. And I made a list of maybe 20 ideas of topics. Like, I was teaching yoga and meditation, right? So it could be a yoga and meditation podcast. It could be a holistic lifestyle podcast. I have a background in music and theater and performance. So maybe I'm going to create a podcast about creativity, or maybe it's about entrepreneurship, or I've been feeling like a fraud and I keep hearing about this thing in business called imposter syndrome. And so maybe it's about that. And I had all these ideas and I did informal market research. So when I would meet someone, I would say, oh, I'm launching a podcast. And they'd say, what's it about? And I'd say, oh, it's about yoga and meditation. And if their eyes kind of like glazed over, or they were like, cool, and then they just move on to the next
topic,
or they're like looking around to see who else they can talk to. I thought to myself, maybe that's not the topic because nobody's interested. And so I was kind of fishing informally for what is the topic that's going to catch somebody's attention. And so I came up with this idea. I was like, oh, it's around creativity and imposter syndrome. And people would say, oh, I don't know what that is, but I think I have that. Or they'd say, tell me more. And I was like, okay, so this is the intersection, right? And I know so many creative people who do all kinds of different things from some of the different experiences and backgrounds that I've had. So I already had a list of people that I could talk to about this in my mind. And so we were just kind of batting this idea around, my partner and I. And one of us said, oh, the creative imposter. And we were like, yes, that is it. So how does that translate from that show into the business? It's something that resonates so deeply with a lot of my clients, no matter what field they're in. I work with organizations in arts and culture. I work with an opera company. I work with a sales trainer. I work with people in wholesale distribution. And no matter what industry that we're in, the act of creating a podcast, creating a show for your company, for your brand, is one of the most creative things you could possibly do in terms of outreach and promotion. There's a fair amount of artistic choices that you put into how you craft your show. And so the creativity part flows naturally, and it's something new that you're trying. It's something new that you're implementing. And anytime we implement something new, there's always that level of like, am I a podcaster? Like, is this who I am? Is this part of our identity? How do we communicate this? It's taking on a new role.
I love that. And I think, you know, I don't know that I've ever talked about this with anybody, but this is a great conversation that maybe we don't have time to go deep here, but maybe something that, I don't know, that you've already had in your podcast. But as you're bringing it up, I think creativity and imposter syndrome are absolutely, they go hand in hand, because creativity is about creating what doesn't exist. And think about it. If you ever led a pack, like, have you ever led a group of people to a destination you've never been, and you think you know where you're going and you have your GPS and they're following you, and you look back and you'll say, I hope I'm going in the right direction.
Yes.
But creativity is about creating something, in your case, a podcast that didn't exist before. And in that, if we don't have self-doubt, we won't have quality.
Yeah.
If we don't have self-doubt, we won't have the capacity or the curiosity to reach out to someone that can guide us, or that we can ask ourselves, is this really working, or whatever it is, right? So I love that you combined the one thing that can severely trump creativity, mm-hmm. if you allow it, but can at the same time be the one thing that can make your creation much better if it empowers you.
Yeah. If you have the ability to know what you don't know and ask questions and be curious. And when I'm working with my clients, that is a huge part of our process. You know, they come to me and they say, oh, well, you're the podcasting expert, or you're the, you know, the podcasting genius, or, you know, whatever things. Those are my clients' words, not my words, by the way. But they'll say that and they think that I have all the answers, and I don't, because I'm not the expert in their business or in their organization. So what we're doing is we're coming together and I'm curious about what they're creating. What is their mission? What are they trying to do? Who is their audience? And they're curious about podcasting. How do I communicate this? How do I do this? And we're discovering it and figuring it out together.
So I'm going to ask the question that I wasn't planning on asking, but anybody listening who is thinking about starting a podcast, or, and we'll give your information in just a minute, or that has a podcast, are probably asking, saying to themselves, Dolores, ask a question. So what is the question they want me to ask you is, how do you make money with a podcast?
Ooh, this is a trick question, because a lot of times you don't. And that is not the answer that most people want to hear. And so part of what we're working with our clients is, what do you want the podcast to do? If you are strictly creating a podcast to make money, you have an uphill battle. It's very challenging. Those who are able to directly profit from their show are those who already have a huge following, those who already have a huge audience, and an audience that will translate to podcast listeners, because you might have a huge blog, you might have a huge YouTube channel. Those audience members may or may not ever listen to a podcast. People tend to consume media in the way that they like to consume media. And so very few people will like move around to various platforms. So yes, you can go the route where you are looking for sponsorships and affiliate deals and things like that to profit directly from your content. But more often, the clients that I work with, what I see work for them is that their show is a branch of some kind of outreach-based mission that is part of the overall brand affinity that they are growing for their company. So take, for instance, I have a wholesale distribution flooring company in Western Canada, and their primary audience is very small. Their primary audience are flooring retailers based in Western Canada who carry the products they distribute. That's not a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a couple hundred people. So those people that are listening to their show are already their retailers. They already work with them. They don't need to get that person to be their customer. But when they create that show for them, they're giving them sales advice. They're giving them, these are the new products that are coming out. They're giving them, when your customer comes in and says X, what they really mean is Y. And this is how you can better service them. And so
I love that. It's a training podcast. It's a client engagement podcast.
Absolutely.
Love that. Love that.
So there's so many different ways. And that is just one example of how you can cleverly use this medium in a way that's not so linear, make podcast, get customers, increase revenue.
Love that. Yeah. Love that. So what are you working on? What are you excited for the next 12 months? Is there anything that you're about to reveal?
Absolutely. And this is so exciting because I think this is the first place that I am publicly talking about this. I've dropped hints to my existing clients, but I don't think that I have publicly announced this yet because it's not quite ready, but it will be this summer. And what I'm working on creating now is the Creative Imposter Studio membership. Mm-hmm. And what this is this is going to be an annual membership for podcasters who are podcasting on behalf of a brand, a small business, a company, or a nonprofit organization who really want support with the strategy on the craft and the culture of their show. So it's not necessarily, and this is something that I'm already doing with my existing production clients. So the clients that I'm already helping them actively create their show, I've sort of like capped out on how many clients I can have without adding more and more production team members. But I have people who are like, I already have my show. I already have an editor I love, but I love what you're talking about. And no one has talked to me about podcasting like this. Or I'm creating this podcast for my company. I love making the podcast. It's so much fun. I have a great audience, but I don't really know if it's working. I don't really know if I should keep doing it. Like, it's kind of expensive. I don't really know what the return on investment is. And I feel like I'm doing it in a vacuum. And the only place I can go for advice are like Facebook groups where I get wacky advice whenever I post a question. I don't really know what direction to go next. And so the membership will be for those creators who want to come in and have a seminar every couple of months on a special topic. What are those topics about? We've already done one for my clients about how to interpret your download numbers and stats. Like, what do those really mean? Are they important? Are they accurate? What do they not mean? We're doing one this June, which will be the first one that'll be open for public registration, which is about sponsorships and affiliate programs. Like, when does it make sense? When does it not make sense? What are the common mistakes that we see people make? And we're using case studies from within my clientele. And so that membership is going to be so much fun because basically I get to talk about everybody's shows with them. I get to dive deep into their shows, listen to their shows, see what's working, see what could be better, and really help them to thrive and help their voice to shine through.
I love that. I love that. I love that. So I can't believe it's already been like 25 minutes that we've been having a conversation. And I could keep on going for an hour, but I want to make sure that our listeners get the succinct and clear value that we promised at this podcast. So what book, podcast, or series, Netflix or something, must our listeners check out?
So I'm going to have an answer that I think no one has ever had on your show.
Let's see.
It is that I want everyone to pick up a children's book.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really matter which one. I could recommend a couple from my childhood. So I really like A Light in the Attic by Shel Silverstein.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could pick up any Dr. Seuss book. And the reason why I want you to do this is because if you are creating content where you use your voice, so whether that's a podcast or a YouTube video or you're doing Instagram lives or whatever it is, I want you to take this children's book and I want you to read it out loud, as you would to a child.
In your podcast?
No, just
to yourself.
Before you create your next piece of content. So before you make your next video, before you do your next live, before you record your next podcast, take A Light in the Attic or take your favorite Dr. Seuss book, read it out loud as you would to a child. And the reason why I'm saying this is because what it does when you read a book like that, that has very specific language and it uses language in a rhythmical way, and you imagine communicating to a child, you naturally become so much more expressive. And when you're more expressive, that is what pulls your listeners and your audience into what you're saying. That's what engages them. That's what creates the connection. And so if you could imagine like reading a story to a bunch of small children and they're like have their eyes like fixated on you and they're waiting to find out what happens next, that's how we want to engage our audience when we create media.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I'm going to practice that myself. My kids are all grown up, so I don't read children's book anymore. So where can people find you?
TheCreativeImpostor.com. And I do have a special something for your listeners, which is a secret podcast. It's 5 episodes and it's called 5 Questions You Haven't Asked About Your Podcast. So this is for someone who is either thinking about creating a show but hasn't yet, or someone who already has one. And these 5 questions are going to help you tie into some of those questions that help you dig a little deeper into the value that you are creating for your audience and what it is that you want to get in return. And that is at thecreativeimpostor.com/clarity.
Brilliant. Beautiful. Thank you so much. So any parting thoughts?
My parting thought is really when you are thinking about a new endeavor for your business, when you're thinking about creating something new, like perhaps a podcast, who knows, to think about what it is that you want to share. What is it that you want to share? What is the impact that you want to make? What is the thing that you want to shift in your niche? I'm all about working with people who want to shift the status quo, not just maintain, but to actually bring about a change. And when you know what that impact is that you want to make and what that shift is that you want to make, that's what is going to propel you forward past any limiting self-doubt, impostery feelings. I don't know how to. That impact, that desire to make that change is what's going to push you forward.
Love it. I love it. Anchor in the impact and make your fear smaller than your dream.
Ooh, I like the way you said that.
There you go. You can take it. It's yours. Well, thank you so much for your time today. And I'm very excited to download my secret episode.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Andrea.
You're welcome.
I just had a great conversation with Andrea Klander from the Creative Imposter Syndrome. And here's one thing that she shared with us. She shared probably the million-dollar question everybody who is doing a podcast or thinking about starting a podcast would ask themselves. And the question is, how do I make money with my podcast? So if you want the answer to that question, just listen to my episode with Andrea. You don't want to miss it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Masters in Clarity. If you love today's show, please subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review. Share this episode with two people in your world, and as a gift, go to mastersinclarity.com/free to download free clarity resources. Join your host, Dolores Hirschman, next time to continue forging a clear path to your impactful success.